Sarah, to you first. It all kicked off with the Social Democrats today. Most people's eyes on a government, attempts at putting a government together, but a slight disintegration of the Social Democrats today.
Yeah, as you put it at the top there, an own goal. But the original story, I think, appeared in the Daily Mail last week about how the Social Democrats' new TD for Dublin Bay South, Owen Hayes, had sold his shares in the software company Palantir, and that one of its clients was the Israeli Defence Forces. There was a press conference outside Leinster House this morning, and Owen Hayes was questioned about it repeatedly, asked when exactly had he sold the shares. He said it was before he had entered politics. A statement came out in the afternoon that said this actually wasn't true, that he had been elected to Dublin City Council in June, but that he didn't sell the shares until July, which was a month later, and that was at €199,000. The party said at that stage they would review the matter, it was very serious, and then a subsequent statement came out saying that he had been suspended from the parliamentary party with immediate effect. And then another statement has come out now tonight from Owen Hayes, and he said he would sit as an independent when the Dáil resumes on Wednesday, and that he wanted to earn back the trust of the Social Democrats.
Right. No indication as to whether sitting as an independent makes him open in his own right to coalition formation as yet. That's not.
Will he join the regional group or the technical group? Who knows?
I don't know. He says he is sorry for putting his colleagues in that position. And he remains fully committed to the principles and ideals of the Social Democrats, and he appreciates the need for and he accepts the decision, and will try to regain the trust of the Social Democrats. Now, there was another statement out today about things that TDs own. That was Robert Troy, who has several properties, has acted as a landlord. Richard Boyd Barrett's colleague here, Paul Murphy, submitted a complaint to the Standards and Public Office Commission, and they came back with a report. What did they say?
Yeah, so the report was published today, and it found that Robert Troy had contravened part of the Ethics Act by his failure to declare fully some properties he owned and other interests, but concluded he acted in good faith. Obviously, Robert Troy resigned as Minister of State after these issues emerged in August 2022. And he said that he had made human errors which weren't intentional, and submitted amended declarations. He put out a statement this evening saying that he welcomed the findings and he was glad the process was now concluded. He was obviously re-elected for Longford Westmeath 2 weeks ago.
Right. The other news today, new senators.
Yeah, we have three senators, but they're three familiar faces. So the Taoiseach appointed Anne Rabbitt, Joe Flaherty and Alan Farrell to the Seanad, obviously former TDs who lost their seats in the election, and they'll replace Eimear Curry, Erin McGrehan and Timmy Dooley.
Okay, and a new technical group.
Yes, a new technical group. So it's independent TDs Michael Healy-Ray, Danny Healy-Ray and Paul Gogarty have joined forces with Independent Ireland TDs to form the independent technical group in the Dáil. So we obviously have four independent Ireland TDs, which are Michael Collins, Michael Fitzmaurice, Richard O'Donoghue and Ken O'Flynn. And I think the logic behind it is that the independent TDs will join this technical group to sort of increase their speaking time in the Dáil.
Right. Not necessarily ideological coherence between all members of the group. They're quite the eclectic technical group.
Yeah, I think, a colleague was joking to me in the election count 2 weeks ago, would Paul Gogarty go back to the Greens, that they might need a few more numbers now? But he's obviously made his decision to go to this technical group.
Okay. And so, meeting over government formation now, what happened? The two outgoing coalition partners, the two larger outgoing coalition partners, should I say, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, met today.
Yeah, so the two deputy leaders, Jack Chambers and Helen McEntee, had sort of pre-talks, and they said it was a positive meeting, and they mostly discussed the structure and the format for the talks. I understand the negotiation teams will meet tomorrow. Ivana Bacik also met with Micheál Martin and Simon Harris today, and she set out Labour's policy priorities. So its parliamentary party will meet on Friday, and she'll provide an assessment of her meetings to date, and the party will then consider whether it will engage further with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. We also had all the independents now in the regional group have individually met with Micheál Martin and Simon Harris, and that group will meet tomorrow and decide whether they will approach further talks as a group or individually. Marian Harkin, the independent TD, was on the sixth one this evening saying that she would favour, I think, a group approach rather than individually.
Okay, let's go back to the first story that Sarah mentioned. We'll go to the rest of the panel on this. To you first, Donagh O'Leary, your colleague Matt Carty called on Owen Hayes to resign as a TD. Such a dim view did he take of this today. You back that call?
Look, yeah, like, I mean, I think this is an extremely serious matter. And I think that people in that constituency might well have voted. I expect many of them would have voted very differently if they had been aware of Mr. Hayes' connection. I think he misled the people. He obviously misled the press corps today. And I think it's clear he misled his own party too, who have suspended him.
Right.
And I think that's the correct action. Like, I mean, I would say it's not just a question of whether he entered politics or not. There is an ethical question there. You know, if you are, whatever about his past involvement, and that's several years ago, but if you're in possession of shares in a company that you know to be, I suppose, complicit with the Israeli Defence Forces in very, very serious things that would have led to massive human rights abuses. You know, if you're in possession of such a thing as that, it's not a small matter. It's not a small sum of money either, as we can clearly see. I think there is a moral question in relation to that. And I think Mr. Hayes needs to reflect on that himself.
Right.
And
well, can I put some of his statement? He's obviously not here to defend himself, but he did issue a statement. He said, "I want to clarify that while I disposed of the shares in July 2024, I had sought to do so much earlier, but administrative barriers delayed the process. I want to additionally clarify that while I drafted, signed and submitted a form on the 26th of July 2024, disclosing my divestment of shares, which email correspondence substantiates, I mistyped the date on the form as the 26th of June 2024. Is it at all possible that, you know, this is inadvertent, he's made a mistake and he's paying a sufficient price for that?
Look, I mean, as I say, I think it is right that he has been suspended by the Social Democrats, a party who, to be fair, have had robust positions in relation to this whole area. I think, you know, it isn't just a matter, though, of paperwork and form filling and when was the appropriate time. Obviously, he misled the press corps on the plinth today, and that is an issue, whether deliberately or otherwise. But, like, this conflict has been going on for well over a year at this stage. And I think it has been long a matter of public discourse in this country and internationally that, you know, being in a position to profit, whether it's Owen Hayes or, you know, anyone else, from people who are complicit in the war crimes that are happening in the Middle East is wrong. Okay. And I think if people had known that, I think they would have potentially reacted differently. It is a very serious matter. It's not just, this isn't just about compliance with standards and public office, albeit that that is important. There is a moral question there also.
All right. Fergus Finlay, what do you make of it?
I suppose there are two things. I mean, it needs to be one of the basic rules of modern politics that if you don't want to get caught doing something, don't do it. And the second rule is if you do get caught, don't tell lies about it. And that's what's happened here. First get caught, then tell lies. But there is, as Dunica said, a deeper issue.
Is there, I mean, look, he's issued a statement. He said he made a mistake. Earlier today, he didn't say when he had disposed
both,
of
both them. He and his party earlier today issued statements using the words not true in relation to his earlier statements. I interpret the words not true to be lie. But there is another issue, and as Dunica said, by the time he did dispose of these shares, these are shares in a company that sells targeting software to the Israeli army. By the time he disposed of these shares, the war in Gaza was 9 months old. Tens of thousands of Palestinian people had already been slaughtered, some of them almost certainly using that kind of software. A social
the accuracy of which has been questioned. I mean, it's you know...
Well, if it's bad software, that doesn't really absolve very much.
The criteria of which, anyway. But, you know, what you were saying there about, you know, the rules of politics in dealing with this, they seem quite simple.
They're very simple. If you don't want to get caught doing it, don't do it.
Okay.
And if you do finally get caught, don't tell lies about it.
Do you think it's a resigning issue as
absolutely
a TD?
Absolutely, I think it's a resigning issue.
Resign the seat.
I do, and I think if there were a by-election in the morning or if there were the people of his constituency had a choice in the morning, he'd be fired out in his ear.
Okay.
Fired out in his ear.
Richard
the
Boyd.
Funny thing is, I met him for the first time the other night in a different debate about governance, you know, coalition forming and so on, and I thought he was a very bright fellow. I'm not of that opinion now.
Okay. Richard Boyd Barrett? Resign the seat or is suspension...
Yes, I think he should resign the seat. I mean, I was shocked and I said it in front of the cameras who asked me about this today.
And is it over the issue of what the shares were in, the fact he owned them at
when,
all?
When I heard...
Level of transparency about it?
All of it. But when I heard, first of all, that somebody had walked away with nearly €200,000 in profit from a company that doesn't even make a secret, is proud of the fact that it provides this software to the Israeli military, that, for example, went to the trouble of holding a board, executive board meeting in Tel Aviv in January of this year to show their solidarity with Israel when it was 4 months into the genocide that has been committed against the people of Gaza. When this technology, when you look at the descriptions of it, fits exactly what we see, what appears to be going on when Israel says we're targeting so-called terrorists, but actually kills hundreds and hundreds of people in every attack, or dozens and dozens of men, women and children. And that he was working for this company and then walked away with €200,000 in shares. And if you listen to the narrative, even now, you could it would be reasonable to assume that the only reason he got rid of the shares is because somebody might have found out about the shares. So he, at least it's reasonable to think that he wouldn't have got rid of the shares if he hadn't been elected to a seat.
He did what he did, whatever about the motivation for getting rid of them. But anyway, in his statement, he says he hopes to earn back the trust of the Social Democrats and will work hard to do so.
He should explain about his involvement with this company and why he kept those shares so long.
And until he does so,
implicated in genocide and the massacre of human beings, targeted massacring of human beings.
Donal O'Leary, in terms of the, he says he will work to earn back the trust of the Social Democrats. If the Social Democrats were to accept him back, does that put them beyond Sinn Féin talking to them?
Look, I mean, what the Social Democrats do is very much a matter for themselves. I think they did the right thing today. But who they admit and who they choose not to admit to their party is very much a matter for themselves. Our policy...
I'm coming to that.
I think we've been honest enough. We will talk to parties about the issues, right? But just in relation to Mr. Hayes, obviously, there is no mechanism for him to be removed or anything like that. It is ultimately a decision for himself. But I do believe it would be the right decision. It would be the honourable decision. And I think it's a matter of shame or of significant regret, certainly to me. But I think an awful lot of people as well who are passionate about this issue. The person who lost their seat in that constituency, Chris Andrews, is somebody who's travelled to Palestine, who has shown many years of solidarity with the Palestinian people. I do believe the outcome of the election in that constituency would have been very different if people would have been aware of it.
Gone to Hazel Chu. It could have gone to anyone. I suppose,
I think it's absolutely. But I think it's very unlikely that people would have taken a light view of this. It is a very serious issue. And Mr. Hayes, obviously, whether he resigns or not, if he's not a member of a political party, is a matter for himself. Okay. But he needs to, morally, I think, reflect on the choices he has made and the responsibility he has for them himself.
All right. We did, for the record, ask for somebody from the Social Democrats tonight, and that invitation is still offered for tomorrow should they wish to put forward a spokesperson, and they can give their own point of view on this question. Fergus Finlay, though, to look at where things are going at the moment. Look, it's pretty clear at the moment that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are getting down to the business of putting together 86 of the seats that are needed in the coalition. What's the process, as you see it, on the opposition benches? What should happen on the opposition benches as somebody who is now, I suppose, no longer has skin in the game, so to speak?
I don't think anything should happen on the opposition benches. My view would be that the opposition should get ready to form a vigorous, effective opposition. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael don't need another political party. I've been there in the past, and I've been there at times when a third political party had to be involved or there wouldn't have been a government. They don't need it. They'd like it, perhaps, for longevity and stability and all those kind of things. But Ireland doesn't need to be propping up Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in that sort of way. There are enough independents out there willing to make up the numbers, some of whom have already declared Michael Lowry, for example, have declared that they're open to doing deals, and they will not be deals that involve cabinet posts or anything of that sort. So they should just get on with it. They should be told by the opposition to get on with it, and they should be fought every inch of the way by the opposition, particularly on some of the issues that they are blatantly ignoring, like housing and homelessness as the key one. I mean, at another level, and this might sound frivolous, but if Labour, for example, and I hope Labour doesn't, but if Labour were to consider joining this, it would be a bit like a well-settled, well-married, if occasionally quarrelsome couple inviting a third party along on their second honeymoon. It would be a very, very uncomfortable place to be. And I think Labour should run a million miles from it.
A throuple.
No room in Irish politics for a throuple.
Right, OK. Richard Boyd Barrett, I mean, look, the problem as analysed by a number of parties on the left prior to the last general election, but perhaps foremost amongst them yourselves who wrote to other parties, was that there wasn't sufficient unity on the left to offer a clear alternative, and an alternative that involved ruling out entering government with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Should the groundwork on that start now, as far as you're concerned,
absolutely,
on the opposition benches?
It should absolutely start now. And I think precisely the left need to create a bloc to, as Fergus has said, vigorously oppose this government and challenge policies that have failed so disastrously on housing and homelessness, on the cost of living, on special needs and disability and childcare, and indeed on Palestine, in my opinion. That's the sort of opposition we need. And not just an opposition that's going to wait around for the next election, in my opinion. I mean, so severe as we enter into Christmas is the homelessness situation now. I want to see a left that is mobilising and campaigning to put intense pressure on this government to abandon failed policies when it comes to addressing this utterly disastrous situation.
Right. I mean, would you hold yourself accountable in any way for being too pure for too long with regard to the Labour Party? There was, I think, you know, a sentiment expressed by your own grouping, Solidarity People Before Profit, that Labour needed to atone for far longer for being in government with Fine Gael at a time where austerity was required. Was it a mistake to kind of hold them to account for that long when you could have been more forward-looking and had them as an ally?
I mean, look, I think the difficulty was, first of all, we are strongly of the view, and we always have been strongly of the view, that the prop of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael has always led to disaster for parties to the left of the centre, right? And that we needed to break that cycle. And that there was a possibility and an opportunity to finally replace Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and have a left government for the first time in the history of the state. But obviously, to my mind, that means you have to rule out going in with them. Because if you don't, you're sending a signal to the electorate that you don't really believe yourself you can offer that alternative, and you're going to continue to be a problem.
We're going to talk to Donegh O'Leary next. What do you make of Sinn Féin's approach on that then?
I similarly think it didn't send the right signal for parties that were saying, we want to break the cycle of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, to simultaneously say we're holding out the option of possibly going, oh, we won't rule out the option of going in with them. I don't think it sends the right signal.
It suggests
to people out there it's sort of inevitable. And remember, there was a narrative going into the election that it's inevitable Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are going to return, and it kind of reinforces that.
Donegh O'Leary, Richard Boyd Barrett taking issue with your view that your party's view that you talk to anyone, and even laterally your party leader taking issue with Fianna Fáil for not talking to Sinn Féin.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. Like, I mean, I really agree with a lot of what Richard says in relation to the need for cooperation. Now, I would say cooperation, like, I mean, I don't think it's possible. Richard's party, my party, and indeed Social Democrats and the Labour Party come from different political traditions and have different views on lots of different issues, but we also have a great deal in common. I had certainly hoped for a change of government in this election. I am disappointed that it looks like that's not going to happen. And frankly, I am worried. I am worried as well in relation to issues like the housing crisis. Will it get significantly worse? Will homelessness increase even more? Will rents increase even more? But it is important to hold hope and to encourage people that another way is possible. In the long arc of things, the share of the vote that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have got continues to fall, and the vote that others get continues to rise. It is my view, though, that you know, the nonsense that we have seen in several elections about parties ruling X in and Y out and ultimately recanting on that after an election, I don't think serves anyone well. I think our approach is very honest. We will talk to people on the basis of the issues and being able to deliver. It was our view that if another party was willing to come in and support the policies that we believe are necessary to resolve the housing crisis, then we would talk to them. But we always felt that was unlikely, and our preference was clearly for to work with parties on the left. And our view was that a government of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, such as now appears to be likely to happen, was the worst potential outcome.
But before we leave the topic and move on, people may understand that if Sinn Féin was to be the lead party of government and you might be talking to other parties as a junior party where you'd be steering it on the big spending issues like housing. But is there any prospect of that at all if Fianna Fáil have 48 seats and you have 39 and you're the junior party?
Well, look, I mean, I think you look at the, you know, you look at the difference in terms of the first preference votes, it's really not that significant. Is it possible that Sinn Féin, or generally that the left, can hold the largest part of a government in the future? I think it's absolutely possible in a way that people couldn't even have imagined 10 years ago, not to mind 20 or 30 years ago. I think that the appetite for change is significant.
I suppose what I'm asking you is that that's in the future if you were the largest party of government. But in the current configuration, you'd be a junior partner. So how optimistic would you be, even if they were willing to talk to you, that you would be steering the ship? And if so, then what's the point in talking to them?
Because dialogue is important, but I think it would be very... and I think there is an element of respect here. There is an element of respect. You know, Micheál Martin comes up with, and he changes tack between artificial policy differences that he imagines in terms of what he believes Sinn Féin's policy to be rather than what it actually is. And sometimes tacking to issues in relation to history. Ultimately, there is an element of an attitude that we are not worthy to be in government, and that ultimately Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are the worthy people to be in government. But to be honest, it's clear now that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, which would have been our least desired outcome of a general election, that is going to be the government. They are going to receive very vigorous opposition, constructive opposition, but very vigorous opposition that, in cooperation with us on the left, can paint an alternative picture for the future.
Very briefly,
there is one fascinating point about all this. If you brought down a dozen professors of politics from Mars and showed them the election results of the last election, the votes and the seats, they would say to you, oh, well, the losers here were Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Yeah. And the winners were Sinn Féin, Labour, Social Democrats, and the independents and the left-wing. They were the clear winners.
In terms of their historical trajectory.
In terms
of
the trajectory and in terms of the actual outcome, right? Now, so what has happened is that the people who didn't get a mandate are going to form a government, and all the parties that did get an improved mandate are going to go into opposition. It's kind of weird.
All right. Sarah, the... just to clear up the issues of government formation, first of all, independent TDs, do they want cabinet seats? Do they want the Ciarán Corliss chair? Or who wants it? And will we see it on the 18th?
Yeah, I think there's been a bit of speculation that the independent TD, Verona Murphy, might want the Ciarán Corliss position. I'm not sure about cabinet positions at this stage. I'm sure one or two of them might certainly want maybe a junior ministry. But it'll be interesting to see tomorrow now when they do meet, whether they decide to go for that collective group approach or go individually in terms of what they're seeking.